This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you, Sabrina, for the news. My name is Rich Bradbury. It's coming up to 12:04 on this Monday, the 1st of July, 2019. Of course, this is Enterprise Biz Bites. Today, I'm in the studio with...
Frida Liu.
And Audrey Raj.
Welcome back, Audrey.
Yeah,
You've been on a little jaunt somewhere. Where did you go?
I went to Sydney for the Adobe Symposium 2019, and it was an absolute blast.
Mind-blasting, was it?
It was. It was all about the...
You call it work?
Yes, it is. It was about customer experience, the digital experience, sure. You know, thinking about the future of retail, the future of banking, and plenty of exclusive content coming up on BFM because we were the only Malaysians at the symposium.
Wow.
Yeah.
And as usual, in the studio with us, we have our producer, Christine, who's going to be with us, of course, all the way through the show. She has sourced us some little interviews and some vox pops for our topic of the day today. So Google, not too long ago, have said the best bosses in the world do 10 things. Mm. They've essentially said that they think they can identify the perfect manager. Our question for today, then, what makes a perfect manager for you? Because what makes a perfect manager for me is different to what makes a perfect manager for Frida and for Audrey.
Maybe stories, you know?
Yeah, stories. You know, something that your manager has done that's made them stand out for a good reason, or maybe not a good reason, but let's try and keep things positive on a Monday. That's story number one. Story number two, staying with the positives, can we make meetings optional, please, boss, is my story. Wrapping up with how online shopping sites send you on a guilt trip. Thanks, Ords. Something we mentioned briefly with Arvin a couple of weeks ago. What was it called? Dark design, I think.
Dark pattern, dark design, yes.
Right. So that's what we'll be touching on very shortly. Before we get started, though, we have a clip from Jeevan Sardavan, who you may have heard this morning. We asked him what his opinion of a good leader or a good manager should be. And this is what he had to say.
One of the most important things, or rather two of the most important things, number one, the mission of the position. For instance, if you have a telemarketer, what's the mission of this position? Maybe the mission is to generate 1,000 appointments in the whole year. So that's the mission. So the two things. So first one is the mission of the position. And the second one is plans to achieve that mission. So if I find that a person can't get the job done right, or they're not sure how to do something, so I'll look back and I'll go backwards a bit and say, look, do I even have a mission for this position? Does this person know what the objective is, what the direction is? So I'd sit down with that person and I'd work out the mission again. And it's the same even with a client. When the client comes to me for coaching, the first thing we do is, what is our mission? What is our goal? What is it that we're trying to achieve? Then we come up with the plans to do that. And the rest of it is just navigation. So the mission and the plans.
There you go. The mission for the position.
Actually, this morning's interview was about 7 effective ways for teams to bond. Sort of connects to this story as well, right? You can see snippets of that and points that are similar. Mission and position. Jeevan. anyway, this is based on a research that Google has conducted under the codename Project Oxygen for over 10 years. And, you know, it has paid off because over the years, Google has seen marked improvement in employee turnover, satisfaction, and performance. So these are the traits. And they're hoping that with these traits, that when new managers come about, have these traits and train them to have these traits so that then at least, you know, that's the way that the people will continue to stay on. And he says that, interestingly, not surprisingly, technical skill mattered much less than you might guess. Emotional intelligence, the ability to understand and control emotions, both their own and those of their people. So first, behavior is a good coach. And so Jeevan loved it. He said, of course, you need a good coach, right? And he says, and I think like rather than solve every problem as soon as it arises, the best managers use problems as teaching moments. They guide their teams to share insights when needed. This allows their team to gain valuable experience and grow. And I know like, you know, immediate thing is like when a situation arises, let's get to solution mode. And you don't explain why. You don't explain why we need to do certain things. You know, I think a lot of times during that situation, a good coach is asking the right questions, right? Asking the right questions. Why do you think this has happened? How do you think we could have avoided it? You know, what should we do moving forward? So when you get someone to answer the question, they own it, right? You know, I said, you know, Richard, you need a haircut? And Richard, you need a haircut. I said, Richard, don't you think your hair could do with a bit of a, you know, or whatever, you know, I mean,
it looks longer than normal,
It looks longer, yeah. I said, oh, I need a haircut. Yeah. Then the decision came from you, right?
Yeah, I also think that, you know,
you're not going to tell me the same thing, right?
Maybe later. So the other thing that I think makes sense here is also for the millennials out there right now in the workforce, they would appreciate a good coach because they want to see that growth in themselves. Mm. You know, that's what will keep them motivated, keep them going in the company in order to actually see yourself grow. Mm. And I think without a good coach, that would be quite difficult.
Right. Mm. I'm just thinking about the couple of managers I've had, you know, and I've had probably one or two good coaches, which is like, okay, where do we go? And so you feel like you're on they're on their journey with you, right? And rather than just like, oh, do this, it's like, okay, I know what needs to be done, I get done, but I don't feel like I own it. I'm just doing, which kind of leads to the second point, right? There are 10 points, right? Which is to empower team and does not micromanage. Like, I love to be micromanaged, said no employee ever. So great managers give the employee the freedom they crave, freedom to explore their ideas, to take smart risks and to make mistakes. They also provide the physical tools people need and allow for flexible schedules and working environments. And one of the good things, you know, like even here, right, where we're allowed, you know, we meet our KPIs, right, within the time allotted. And I think that's fair. How I do it, when I do it, so long as I get it during that specific time, I think that's good enough. But not like, unless, you know, so unless you raise your hand and say, hey, how do I do this? You ask questions, right? But then I guess that's the assumption that you know what to do. Yeah.
All right.
Third one is to create an inclusive team environment showing concern for success and well-being. So Google did another research project, discovered that the single greatest key to a team's performance is creating a psychologically safe environment. In a team with high psychological safety, teammates feel safe to take risks around their team members. They feel confident that no one on the team will embarrass or punish anyone else and admit a mistake, asking a question, or offering a new idea. Great teams thrive in trust, and great managers help build that trust. So if you're in the environment where you feel like my speaking up, my sharing isn't going to make a difference, you disengage, right? So a simple thing like that, and I don't feel safe that when I bring up something, that this being taken seriously.
Exactly, because there are managers who will just dismiss your idea outright, immediately, without even giving it time to kind of settle a little bit, or even be discussed. And when that happens, like you say, Freddie, you just step back and you're like, I don't care then. I'm not interested.
I do. I ask once, I know twice, and then third time, you know, I don't feel I need to anymore.
Yeah.
I switch off, right? Yeah. And you don't want that. So there's this thing, right? Absenteeism and presenteeism, where someone is present physically, but not there.
Yeah.
The light's on.
Or not allowed to be there.
Not allowed to be there. So why bother speaking up? So fourth point is, it's productive and results oriented. So this is what bosses like. So the best managers are more than star players. They make the teammates better too. They do so by setting the right example and getting down dirty whenever necessary. They're not afraid to roll the sleeves and help out, and that motivates the team. I think that's understood, right? Five is a good communicator, listens and shares information. So the best managers are great listeners. And he talked about this earlier on, Jeevan, about active listening, right? And not listening to understand and not listening to reply, right? This helps them to better understand teams and show appropriate empathy and just understanding where you're going on. Sometimes someone just wants to be heard.
Yeah.
And then once they've been heard, they're like, actually, I'm okay. Yeah. You know, but I'm like, it's true. And then I'm fine already, right? Good managers realize knowledge is power. That's why they are transparent and willing to share information with teams so that people know the why behind the what. I think that's so important.
Mm. I think this, for me, is the number one
for you.
Point for me. You know, but just because I feel like, you know, if my leader or my manager is really invested in listening to what I have to say, where I am at that moment, you know, my mental state, or, you know, where I am in that, in my career, this which stage I am in my career and how I want to grow, the only way they're going to know these things is if they listen, you know, if they're open to this. And having that open, we've heard about people having an open door policy. Yeah, the door is open, but, you know, are they open to your thoughts, right? And what you need and where you are, you know, and what you need to grow in the companies. So for me, this is the number one. And I think also some part of, I was looking down this list and there was nothing about transparency, but I think this is where transparency falls, you know, in order to be open so that they understand the why behind the what.
Right. Yeah, so being transparent is like, you know, okay, so this is, and back to listening, right? I can help you, you know, you've got, there are five things I need to help with. And the person said, okay, this is what's happening with this company right now. And I'll understand, right? And I can only help you with one at the moment, right? We'll work on the other four. Just that, right? And then let's work towards solving one issue or whatever you...
It shows empathy, right? You know, yeah. And like you say, Audes, you know, that's important. I think, you know, even within a team, before you actually get to your manager, if you can speak with your team and kind of air your views and speak about how you feel, and that team accept that and help you with that, that's going to help the manager understand things.
Which is point six, right? Supports career development, discusses performance. Great managers encourage their people by sharing sincere and specific praise, but they aren't afraid to share critical feedback too, making sure to frame in a way that's both tactful and constructive. Hmm. So many times we hear feedback that isn't tactful and constructive. They also invest in their people by helping them reach their personal career goals. By doing so, they naturally motivate their teams to give back. Because I've had a brilliant manager when I was working for the MNC in Singapore, and she was just, you know, what do you need? Just supporting me all the way. And the more you, the fact that even I didn't get certain things, but the fact that I knew that you tried, I was just so committed, right? Yeah. Just committed to working. And, you know, that was the reason I continued to stay on, right? So, I mean, little things like, in our work, we hear these things, oh, you know, like just general feedback from listeners. Oh, your shows are not compelling, right? You know, what can you do with that kind of information?
Yeah.
You know, because it's too vague and it's too subjective. But if you can say, this is, you know, I don't find, this is what you can do. This is what I would appreciate. This is what you can do. Be specific and actionable enough, that one thing, right? You know, this is where you give praise, but you want to give critical feedback. Also, be specific and actionable.
Actionable is key, because I think if you receive feedback that is not actionable on your part, it just sometimes would come across sounding like an attack. Yeah. And then you just don't know where to go with that from there, you know, with that kind of feedback.
Because you'll do something, you said, still not compelling enough.
Yeah.
What do you do then?
Yeah. Keep going. We've got a couple more, yeah?
Okay, all right. So we've got the seventh one is has a clear vision and strategy for the team. So great managers know exactly where the team is right now, where they're headed, and what they need to do that. So through good communication, they help keep them on track. They make sure that each team member understands their individual role in executing strategy. The eighth one has key technical skills to help advise the team. So technical skills is important. Great managers understand the jobs of people, including the everyday tasks and challenges. If the managers move to a new department, he or she will take time to get to know how things are done and work to build trust before making drastic changes or offering advice. And this is important, right? I can't respect someone who gives me feedback on my work if you haven't had the experience, right? Mm. Because again, you have, you know, you could be a management consultant, no offense, you know what I mean? And the thing is, like, unless you've been in my position, you've been in that situation, it's very difficult for me to respect you, to give that, you know, to be able to give that kind of feedback. Or you give me actionable items. You've got suggestions and actionable items and not one of those vague comments, right? Nine, collaborates effectively. Bad managers view the team as a silo, working against or even sabotaging other teams within the same company, you know, divide and rule. Great managers see the big picture. They work for the good of the company as a whole, encourage the teams to do the same. And 10, it's a strong decision maker. Great managers aren't impulsive, but they're decisive. After getting to know the facts and considering the thoughts and perspectives of the teams, they move things forward, even if it requires making decisions not everyone will approve of. They commit to those decisions. So I'm thinking of our Prime Minister when he was nominating himself for education minister, and everybody was supportive. And then some people said, but this is not back to your manifesto. And then so he backed out from that because he had to commit to that decision that was made in the manifesto. So if your company can train and promote managers who do these then things, you'll help build trust and inspire people to become the best versions themselves. They'll follow, not because they have to, because they want to.
Right then, folks. That's Google's 10 points. Is a good coach, empowers team and does not micromanage, creates an inclusive team environment, showing concerns for success and well-being, is productive and results-oriented, is a good communicator, supports career development and discusses performance, has a clear vision and strategy, has key technical skills to help advise the team, collaborates effectively, and is a strong decision maker. If your manager ticks all of those 10 boxes, well done. You have the perfect manager according to Google. Our question for you, though, what makes a perfect manager for you? Let us know. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Twitter and Instagram, we're at BFM Radio. Music up next from the Waterboys whilst you send in your messages. We'll be right back on BFM 89.9.
Begin Free Malaysia. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. I'm Rich Bradbury in the studio with...
Frida Liu.
And Audrey Raj.
We have been talking about managers, or rather Google have been telling us the best bosses in the world do 10 things. We've run through the list earlier on. We've asked you guys for some feedback as well. We've actually got quite a bit. I've got some over at Insta Story. I've got a couple here on WhatsApp. I'll go to WhatsApp first with Maggie Best, who says... fairness. Fair play should encourage staff participation and contribution. Unbiasedness, keeping a check on office politics, which usually lead to waste of time and resources and destroys teamwork even before teamwork can take root. Lead by example. Practice what one preaches. Subordinates must be convinced that they can trust their supervisors at all time. I've also had an anonymous one come in. It says, a great manager is one who is confident, able to articulate what he wants to achieve, supportive of his team, and focuses on development capabilities. Mm. That's what we've had so far via WhatsApp. I've got a couple of points that, you know, I'd like to talk about as well. The idea of career development and the discussing of performances. I'm sure we've all had one of those managers in the past where you get into work and you are told to just do what you do. Mm. You know, you have your job and you stick to your job. And the idea of advancement or movement or any of that kind of stuff for that manager and for you aren't really there. You're just a body in a place at that time. And when you find yourself in one of those jobs, that's when I think, you know, the manager will have a hard time managing that person because they don't see any future. They don't see any movement. And that's when it kind of sticks in your head and you're like, well, why am I here? You don't want to go to work. You feel depressed. Monday morning rolls around. You call in sick. Friday, you leave early. All of these things that the manager is trying to avoid but will not because they don't address one very simple issue, right? Would you agree with that?
Gosh, Rich, you know, if I was stuck in one of those jobs, I'd hope that, you know, IR 4.0 would come in and just let automation take over. And, those jobs would no longer exist in the future. You know, if you're just coming in just to check those boxes and you have a set KPI that you just have to hit, but that's it. You know, there's no room for creativity, there's no room for growth, for conversation in order to make the job interesting or that's a nightmare.
Here's a thought though. You know, I mean, if you look at the organization, where do you think there is a gap? And maybe you want to talk about, hey, this is something where what the organization needs. And maybe you can create a role, depending on what kind of organization you've got, you know. Maybe you can create a role that we think that the company might need this. So sometimes you also bring this up and hopefully that will be accepted, you know. But sometimes you can also look at creating roles.
But you've also got that manager who's very, very top down, right? So they don't necessarily see the skill set that somebody has because their door is not necessarily open and they don't look around and see what happens, you know, because we're not all the same. We don't all have the same skill set. Each one of us has a very specific set of skills and we're very good at some things and we're not very good at others. And when you're expecting everybody to fit into that small box, this is when you're going to get conflict.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
We also asked a bunch of our staff members what they thought the perfect manager should be. And this is the responses we got from them.
I don't know about the perfect manager, but I think two things that I feel like are really important in a manager is for them to be approachable. I need to feel like if I don't know something or if I need help that I can ask them. The other thing is also, I think they need to know what they want from me and they need to be able to communicate that really well. If there's something I'm not doing well, then not only will they know to tell me, but they know how to tell me in a good, like, constructive way.
The trait that makes a perfect manager would be that he is fair. If you can give, you know, all of your, like, workers, you know, balance work, you know, so everyone cannot be overstressed, right? Yeah, so I think then that makes a good manager.
A perfect manager. Honestly, a lot of patience. Like, especially if you're dealing with newer people, you would need a lot of patience and a lot of multitasking, I think. And also being able to read people and sense their kind of character and what they're really, really good at. There's a lot of culture of getting everybody to do everything, you know, sometimes, you know, to be an adaptable leader and not to just sort of force everybody to fit that kind of box that you need them to fit. Because everybody has their own, like, pros and cons, that kind of thing.
Right. So looking back at that and looking back at some of the stuff that Google have said, just picking out from those statements there from the staff, needs to be approachable, needs to be able to give guidance, knowledgeable, be fair and balanced and patient, be able to multitask and be able to know, have an ability to people read.
Back to the point, right, where I think the only thing knowledgeable is that probably the only one thing that is a technical skill.
Yeah.
Everything else was emotional intelligence.
Right. Mm. Yeah.
Right. I think the fact that you care, that speaks volumes.
I don't know, just looking at this list and, I mean, listening to what our staff had to say, okay, that seems fair. You know, like you said, it's mostly EQ. But looking at this list, I don't think any manager out there is going to be able to hit all 10 points.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, because we're all humans at the end of the day. I mean, I understand what you said earlier, Rich, about being able to notice and to pick out talent and to understand that some people, you know, we all have our pros and cons. We all have our skills and some things that we're not really good at that we're learning to improve on. But it, you know, imagine if you're in charge of just say 5 people in a team, you know,
right.
How do you recognize all these talents without actually sitting there with the team and watching them work every day? And most managers and most leaders out there don't have that luxury of being there throughout the entire process of being, you know, in touch with the grassroots, right? Mm. So I think it could be quite impossible to have a manager who can, you know, tick all these boxes and be all that.
I would say, you know, if you're a manager, look at this list and ask yourself, honestly, what are you good at? Mm. Right? So, okay, what is one thing I can improve on?
In this
10 days, I'm sure there's some things that you're good at. You're already a natural at it. But I said, you know, I'm not really good at this one thing. Let me then take the rest of the year and focus on how I can be better in this area, right? I mean, we can't boil the ocean, right?
Mm.
So you just look at these 10 things. Oh, I wish I was Superman, right? But you can't be. But, you know, what can you work on?
Interesting thing is, I read an article on Fast Company where they spoke about AI and the future of management and whatever. And that article basically set out to say, if we were to implement AI within companies, corporations like this, not in manufacturing, but, you know, in kind of office spaces, the one thing that they would get rid of and replace with AI are managers.
Ooh.
Because managers are fallible and they don't have and cannot hit these 10 points. Whereas if you had AI, of course it could.
Mm. But I don't know about, like, talking to AI about, you know, where I see myself in 5 years. I mean, I think it may be fruitful, you know, it would document everything. But also, I don't know if I'd feel comfortable doing that with a non-human.
You need somebody to emotionally relate to, right?
Yeah.
Right. I have another message here from Eugene, who says, to make it worse on Richard's point, is when you're the heir of the company. Ooh. When you enter a company that keeps telling you they want to grow, but as you enter, you're only guided to do sales, SOP, and just focus on that without giving space for creativity to grow, you lose interest in taking up the company.
Mm.
A leader should really guide and brainstorm with the employees to grow the company and the individual better. Not make them work that day job, but expect drastic growth. I'm talking to you, my manager.
Ooh.
Is this a father?
I don't know. I'm not getting involved in that one. Good point, though. Good point. So we're going to take a very short break. We have music coming up next from Death Cab for Cutie. You can do better than me.
Are you talking about AI here?
Of course. If you'd like to feedback, don't forget WhatsApp 0187898899, Twitter and Instagram. We are at BFM Radio. Let's get some feedback there. When we come back, our next story, can we make meetings optional, please, boss? All up next on Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.